Okay, I believe that we do now have Jody Young on the line.
Excellent.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes. Hey, good morning, Walt, Nancy. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing great.
We're doing great.
So I want to let people know about an event that you have coming up. It is going to be this Tuesday from 6 to 7 o'clock at the War Eagles Air Museum in Santa Teresa. And that will be in order to give people an update on the new master plan that you have out at the Jetport. And so before we get into all of that, for people who haven't been out there, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the Doniana County Jetport?
Yes, sir. Great. I appreciate the opportunity. And you're correct. We are in the midst of updating. We had a master plan from 2018, and we're in the process of updating that. And we're at the midway point. So the Doniana County International Jetport is located about 5.5 miles north of the Santa Teresa Port of Entry. So we are located down near Santa Teresa, New Mexico, by the industrial park. So we're up on the mesa. A lot of folks don't know that we're quite up here. You know, we're outside the residential areas and all. We have a single runway. It's just shy of 2 miles long with an associated parallel taxiway. And then we're sitting on a little over about, currently right now, we're probably in the area of about 50 to 60 structures. We have a lot of different, you know, folks that store their aircraft here. We have a lot of local businesses, you know, so it's a lot of private use is what gets done here. You know, folks using charter who kind of fly on their own time, and they utilize us. As you mentioned, the War Eagles Museum is where we're holding our open house. They are an incredible partner and an asset to us, you know, to bring children and folks out here. If you've never had the opportunity to come walk through there and see the historic warbirds that have been here, they were one of the first tenant that set themselves up out here. So they have a long history of being at the Doniana County International Jetport. We have Red Arrow Flight Academy that teaches flight training. They're based out of here. They have continued to grow with numerous aircraft. So if you want to get your pilot's license, it's a great place to do that. We have Southwest Skydive located here. If you're looking to get your tandem jumps or if you want to actually get your skydive certification, it's a great opportunity to do that here. And then we have a lot of wonderful volunteers. There is the Santa Teresa Veterans Memorial Park is located at the front entrance of the Jetport and has got a lot of folks have dumped a lot of time and effort in there to recognize the veterans, New Mexico veterans, and other folks from this region who have supported our country. And so it's a lot to see and do. You know, kind of we're still in the quiet part of the county, and that's a nice thing to do.
Well, and Nancy and I were talking earlier about the fact that back when the Sun News had a business editor, there were stories in there all the time about what was taking place at the industrial park and Santa Teresa and the Jetport and how important all of that is to the Doniana County economy and facilitating that trade with Mexico and other nations, important to not only the county but the entire state. But that a lot of that seems like it's gotten lost since.
Yeah, a lot of the coverage.
Yeah, the coverage has gotten
lost.
But certainly the importance is still there when you talk about the economic activity at Santa Teresa. And I assume that's your primary customers are probably coming out of that. Is that right?
From a customer base, that's correct. I mean, the majority of our flight right here, if you're looking at sheer numbers, the majority of it are our flight schools. So, you know, this, the border region. So you get folks from El Paso and I mean, there's a flight school in Las Cruces as well, but we have a good mix of folks that are here getting their flight training, which makes up the majority, currently of our, air traffic that goes on here. But we, you know, I'd say probably a good 46% of it is folks who, yes, use this for business. So it's the industrial park. It's a lot of the businesses in this region that use air travel to support their businesses and to get their folks from project site to project site is a huge part of what we do. And so, yes, we are hoping that we can push this thing over the edge. We would love to, you know, we're continuing to work. The state made a great investment in us to upgrade our runway. You know, we have between Cruces and El Paso, there are great opportunities for folks to do commercial passenger traffic. I mean, that's a great opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking for the rural routes and stuff to fly out of Las Cruces, but, you know, you can make it to El Paso to get everywhere else. But we're really hoping that we can get into this cargo market to support this industrial park and the continued growth here. You know, moving raw materials in, hopefully finished goods out, is a big vision while we continue to support folks that just love aviation and they want to fly and, you know, want to be kind of on the outskirts of town.
Well, in fact, I think I got a pilot's license like about 50 years ago. But I think the I learned also out of a more of a rural airport, and it was just it's a much better place to learn than when you're likely to have a lot of other aircraft.
You're absolutely yeah. correct about that. It's it makes it nice to not have to be, you know, trying to listen to your instructor to give you feedback and support for that next approach while you're listening to 15 other aircraft
yes.
on the radios talking to controllers.
Yes, yes, yes. And you don't have an air traffic control system there, do you?
That's correct. No, ma'am. We are what's controlled. We are considered a we're part of the National Planned Integrated Air System, so we are part of the National Airspace System,
uh-huh.
but we are what's called a general aviation, and we are in an uncontrolled field. So
okay.
we are open 24/7, 365, and the easiest way to describe it is pilots, it's just like a four-way stop sign. You
got
people that pull up, you learn, you kind of know the rules of the road, and you learn
yep.
how when it's your turn and how to communicate. It's a very similar operation.
Great.
So you mentioned wanting to get something that could handle cargo planes. My understanding is right now that you have one runway, and under the master plan, the new master plan, you would add a second runway that would be capable of handling those kinds of planes. Is that correct?
It is kind of correct.
Okay.
Kind of going back to the history of our airport, again, the majority of our current base, we're a little over 200 based aircraft right now. The majority of those are lighter aircraft, and our runway is plenty sufficient for what they do. What the state gave us money for a couple of years ago was to widen and strengthen our current runway. So we are capable of handling up to a 757 right now. You know, a 737 is your, you know, typical, most people notice the Southwest Airlines. So the 757 is slightly larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
We can handle that today from a runway perspective. We had a period in time there where we had a partner that was going to help build the ramp portion and some facilities which would allow the processing of cargo, the actually getting it off the aircraft into trucks and vice versa. That's kind of fell through, and so that's what we're working on, that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
We are good to go with cargo ops as it stands from a aviation runway perspective. What you're seeing in the master plan, what over the years, y'all know it around here, these southwest winds kick up,
yep.
mm-hmm.
and it is what's called a crosswind. So trying to use our current runway basically faces east and west. And when you get those southwest winds and they're kicking up in the 25,
yeah.
35 knot range, it makes
yeah.
it really difficult for the smaller airplane to land.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's always been a requirement to support our current mix of aircraft to get them a crosswind. So something so that when those, you know, in the springtime when we're getting the winds out of the south, southwest, mm-hmm. they would have an alternative safe option to come in and land on.
Yes.
In the process of that, there was a study several years ago that it appeared that there was a market to bring a larger aircraft, like a 747 or the large Airbus A380s. We are confined by the Union Pacific Railroad on our west end and then the Mesa on the east end.
Mm.
Our current runway, we can't make it any longer. And to land an aircraft of that size, you need something more in the lines of about 12,000 feet long.
Hmm.
And so that's where you saw in our old master plan is an alternative option in order, you know, once we get cargo ops going, hopefully with smaller aircraft, our growth opportunity where there's land that would be available to support a 12,000-foot runway would be off to the west there, and we would use that opportunity to build something that would also support crosswind for all of our aircraft.
Gotcha. I'm curious, has funding for that already been secured, or do you do the planning first and then go after the funding?
Yes, sir, not yet. So it's more of we're – it's kind of what happened with why the state stepped in to help us to grow our current runway. You know, it's the old field of dreams expression. You know,
if you build it,
the money is so limited, especially in the aviation, that they're not really in the business of if you build it, they will come. So because we didn't already have extensive cargo operations going to kind of justify the need for that,
mm-hmm.
That was why the state helped us stepped in and helped to expand our current runway so that we could start cargo ops. And then once you get that business here and it's thriving, then you will say, hey, look, we're flying out of here. It's much easier then to go after the funding to say, we have the business, the industry is here, it's thriving, and we have this need. We have a need to bring in larger aircraft and that at that point, then the FAA will start stepping in. So we've done other things, you know, working with landowners. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of a stair-stepped. You need to acquire because there's property in the areas that where we would need to extend that's not technically under our control right now. We have 1,700 acres, but it doesn't go that far off to the west, the northwest area. So it would be very much, the FAA runs, so the county runs a capital improvement program, but within the aviation, the FAA world, they also run an airport capital improvement program when we seek money from the FAA. And we run a plan out 5 to 7 years of kind of your wish list, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it to kind of tie into the master plan, the whole purpose of the master plan, that's what drives my ACIP over the next 5, 7 to 10 to 15 years, because we'll map out what our alternatives. Where do we see, after you go through your inventory and you look at what the forecasted needs are, then you come into, okay, what are my alternatives? How do I support those needs? And so we'll start filling out that ACIP, and we work with our FAA program managers saying, hey, we've got this extra runway. It's on our list. And they're going, you know, as you're working through the 5 to 7 years to build up, you keep start looking at making sure you've got the checks in the boxes of going, yep, we got the land. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have the need. All that kind of thing starts working together, and then the funding will kind of play in through that.
Okay. And your meeting that's coming up is basically to get more public input or a stakeholder input on your master plan?
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. So we started in November and we finished. We have about 25 to 30 folks that are on our planning and advisory committee. And those are kind of industry experts, ones that know our area, both from an economic development perspective, but also from an aviation. And we've been working. So we made it through chapter one, which is kind of the overview, chapter two, the inventory, chapter three, our forecasted of what we think our demands. We're now in chapter four, which is, what are these design alternatives? What are the different ways that we can, we interviewed a bunch of folks and found out kind of where everybody thinks our needs are. And so we have just finished kind of working on our chapter four. What are the alternatives? How do we get more corporate hangars? How do we build more T hangars, which are kind of like storage units for smaller aircraft? How do we support the growth and then the business aspect? And so we have a draft of that built up. And that meeting we will be there, our engineering counterparts who are helping us to work on our master plan, be there to say, hey, this is what we're looking at for our alternatives, and to take public input to educate them. And then we'll take whatever we learn from the open house and see where we can make adjustments before we go present the final product to the Board of County Commissioners. And we'll be doing that somewhere around the end of July. We'll be doing a midway update, and we'll be presenting these alternatives so that the commission kind of vote on what they want the future, which alternative we want the future of the jetport to go towards.
Okay.
Along with the extra runway, can you talk about what are some of the other aspects that would also be included in the upgrade?
So we, from our past master plan, it's kind of cool to see things taking shape. So since 2018, we had a need. There are so many private pilots out there with aircraft, and storage is an aviation industry problem throughout the United States. And so we have been running I've got about 90 folks on a waiting list that are waiting to get an aircraft hangar. We were fortunate to get some federal dollars and some state dollars to help develop an area. So we extended back in 2023. And we've got an area built, opened up to where we're going to start being able to build, and some private entities are going to build nests of T-hangers to service that wait list. We also have leased out our last area to build box hangers. And so we've had on our ACIP for the last 5 years to extend a taxiway on our west end. And we're going to, hopefully we will get all the funding, but we're going to open up somewhere between 16 and 33 new lots for folks to build corporate, what would be more of a box hanger. Like a typical garage. Those are in progress already. So our futures are, there's a big need for aircraft mechanics. Again, the industry, everything from aviation engineers, aviation controllers, pilots, mechanics, the whole industry is seeing a lot of growth. And those skill sets are needed. So we're, it would be on a dream list to try to get an aircraft mechanic school. So that folks could get licensed and certified here and grow up. That'll be something that you'll see in our future.
Yeah.
We have a lot of folks that like to fly, you know, unprepared type landings. We're looking at adding that option for folks to continue their training. And then again, just the cargo operations is going to be probably the biggest vision, you know, that along with the crosswind runway.
The other thing that occurs to me, and I don't mean to bring you into what is the most hotly burning controversy in Doniana County, right. But I assume that if Project Jupiter does get up and running, there are going to be a lot more corporate jets flying in and out of Santa Teresa.
You're exactly right. We have had, there's already been a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, we've
sure.
seen an uptick in the transit because, you know, a lot of the companies that are working there, you know, their executives travel through here getting project updates or just trying to establish continued relationships. You know, this border region, you know, there's a lot of different things in the industrial park. And if y'all follow the New Mexico Border Industrial Association, they do a great job of advertising for the industries that are here. I mean, everything from chili sauce to onion processing to foam and cardboard manufacturing. There's just so many things going on in this industrial park, but electronics are a huge part. And so, you know, everybody's talking the word AI, but there are going to be extended opportunities for electronics, the things that make that operate, for people to continue to develop and there to be more industry here that support the guts of the project.
This is probably a dumb question, but I've always been curious about the name Jetport. Is that an official designation, or is there a difference between a jetport or an airport, or is that just what they decided to name it?
Hey, yes, sir. Yeah, nope. There is no dumb question, and that one is it predates me. But I think there's not jetport, airport.
Okay.
They are the same. There's nothing different. I think it was just something when we. So what it required us, the name of the airport, our identifier used to be 5-Tango-6, and we were like Santa Teresa Airport or the Doniana County Airport at Santa Teresa. I think it's had numerous names. But once we got a certified weather station here, it truly changed the opportunities and the things that we could offer pilots, but it also allowed us to play a bigger role in the airspace system of the United States. And so it allowed us to change our designation, and with that came the name. And I think, exactly like you said, I think it's just, it sounds good, and it's what was chosen back in the day.
Sure, that, yeah, with jets, yeah.
Originally you had a more jets rather than little commercial.
Well, I'm just thinking about the New York Jets football team. Well, that was first name. That was, yeah. So, anyway, we are speaking with Jody Young. He is the airport manager at the Doniana County Jetport, and they have a meeting coming up from 6 to 7 Tuesday at the War Eagles Museum in Santa Teresa about their an update to their master plan. And I guess you already explained this a little bit, but am I right that once you get through with all of this, you then make your presentation to the county, and are there funds already set aside, or how will that process work?
So because the master plans are really driven by the FAA. Again, you're talking about take a stab here, like a $44 billion kind of industry that the FAA, there is federal funding to support the airport infrastructure across the United States.
Mm.
Their priority, if you can think about this, it starts at runway centerline. So they care about safety and the operation of the system. And so funding, it starts from runway centerline, and you work your way out. So if runways are going to be the top priority, if they are failing or not in good condition, like they're going to get the crux of the money going up. But then you work your way out. They also try to support the growth, especially in rural airports. You know, there's all sorts of different programs. So updating the master plan, that's what helps our FAA counterparts, our project managers for our region, stay ahead of, like, okay, what are the needs? What are the wants? What money is available?
Mm-hmm.
And so master planning is highly supported by the FAA. We use our entitlement funds, so we get a little bit of dollars every year, and you're allowed to consolidate them over a 4 to 5 year period so that you can pay for big projects. And so we consolidated our money in order to put forth to work on the master plan. And then the state came in and helped tremendously. Again, the New Mexico, they're part of the Department of Transportation, but the New Mexico State Aviation Division. And they are who help all 54 airports in New Mexico to work on our projects and to stay viable for the flying public. And so the master plan's already funded. Yes, we will be doing a mid-update, which is at the end of July. We'll be doing an update to the county commission to kind of select an alternative. And then we'll continue out. The project will wrap up in probably November or December. And we'll do our final presentation to the BOCC to say, all right, here's the accepted plan for this jet port in the near future, the next 5 to 7 years. But we look out all the way to the 20 to 30 years on what we think will be, you know, coming our direction so that we can keep all of our CIP list up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who may be wondering if you are competing or complementing, I guess would be the question, both the El Paso Airport and the Las Cruces Airport, can you talk about, you know, how all of those three facilities, do you work together, or how does that all kind of, are you competitors? How does it all work?
It's a wonderful question. And I think, like any good answer, I think it's a little bit of both.
Sure, yeah.
Right? I mean, there is competition because we want to have based aircraft. The more based aircraft, the more operations you get, the more attention you get from a funding perspective. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of competition in that. You want to be viable for it. But there's also things where we cooperate. It doesn't make sense, you know, from anybody's perspective. For me, let's say, I'm not saying we would never do it, but at this time, with Las Cruces having commercial air operations, so where you can go buy a ticket and fly to Phoenix or fly to Albuquerque, there's no reason for me to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how would I go convince an airliner to come out here to my airport when you've got El Paso International? It's got lots of infrastructure to support passenger travel and TSA and all those sorts of things. So I think in that area, we cooperate. We look at the region and we say, how do we best serve this entire region? How do we help move goods in and out? I mean, El Paso already is a huge industry and they have a lot going on, but there is a place for us in the market the same way that there's a place for Las Cruces to do commercial passenger traffic. So a little bit of a, it's a great question. And I think because we're in the big scheme of things, the industry is kind of small, especially New Mexico aviation. There's a lot of cooperation there. And we have the New Mexico Airport Managers Association, which a lot of the airport managers across the state and our consultants and our state reps all come together to try to support the growth of aviation. And in that regard, there's a huge, huge amount of cooperation to help folks understand how to get money, how to make things safe for pilots, because I'm fortunate that, you know, I have a lot of aviation experience, flew in the Navy and still a pilot to this day. Mm-hmm. Not every community is offered that, you know, their airports will be maybe managed by a contracting department or public works. And so those of us that have the experience, it's great to be able to collaborate and to help them as they navigate, you know, trying to provide good services to their area.
We're getting close to the end of our time together. Is there anything we didn't ask you that you would like to feature to make sure that the our listeners are aware of?
No, ma'am, not that I know. I think more, I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to come talk, and I think just making a plug for there are a lot of great people around here, and a plug for the aviation industry in general. Again, it's not just pilots. There are so many jobs in that industry and so many needed jobs, you know, for skill sets that folks are looking, again, to get into engineering. I mean, I can't build anything without an engineer that's certified to work on airports. And
as I was saying, mechanics, to get a mechanic school would be terrific.
That's exactly right. I mean, there is so much of a need out there for that. And then you've got, I mean, again, down here, I mean, taking an opportunity for skydiving or flight training or the museum, there are lots of opportunities. And so if you're ever in the area, I would encourage you to stop by here and check us out.
And I would just add as a final point, obviously the needs in Doniana County are great when it comes to funding. And I'm sure there will always be people who will say, why don't you spend it on this or that? To me, the obvious example when it comes to you guys is it's an investment. And I assume that whatever the county would spend in this investment, you would expect that to be returned with increased revenue in the future.
Mm-hmm. And economic
That's absolutely true. And my predecessor came over in 2014, and I mean, we have been a self-funded airport from a just a regular operation and expenses. We've been a self-funded airport for 10 to 12 years now, maybe even a little bit longer. So we are continuing to thrive, and that's exactly right. We want to invest in something with a little bit of ROI, but also that's the goodwill given to the community. And just education, getting with the kids is a huge part of what I want to do. It's the business part is great, but finding that next generation to carry it on is going to be an awesome part. And there's a lot of ROI on that as well.
Well, once again, the meeting is going to be 6 to 7 Tuesday, where you can find out more about the master plan, and you can check out the War Eagles Air Museum, which is worth the trip. It's really cool. Jody, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you both. I really appreciate your time, and hope you all have a great day.